hope you've had a good day and you're looking for something in your life from the Lord tonight. This is a good place to find it. Amen. If you'd stand with us, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God found in the book of the Ephesians, chapter number 4, verse number 12. The Bible says, He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Boy, it's something the way the devil will plot and lie in wait for the simple ones. And that's where a lot of our churches have went tonight. The Bible says, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him. Boy, that'd be something to grow up into, wouldn't it? Into all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. Thank you for standing tonight. Father, we sure do love You and we praise You this evening. We thank You for the saints of God. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the songs of God tonight, Lord, that stirred our heart. And I pray now You'd help us in the preaching time. I ask You'd make preaching easy. Lord, let me be a blessing to Your people tonight. I pray that You'd bring the things to my mind and my heart that I've studied today. Help us now. We'll be grateful in Christ's name. Amen. We've been preaching on instructions to the local church. And the last time that we were able to teach on a Wednesday night, we spoke about that of doctrine. Doctrine is very important. You'll find that Paul's writing here to the church, and he tells them that we ought not be children, in verse 14, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. There's a lot of doctrines that are in the wind tonight, and they've shaken a lot of places that you think never could be shook. But the reason that wind of doctrine is shaking things tonight is because they were not grounded on real Bible doctrine. Somebody give me an amen tonight. Now we need doctrine. Doctrine, it instructs us, and doctrine guides us, and it keeps us, and it puts a flag in the stand to let people know what we are and why we are. Now we're a Baptist church here. And I want to say that we practice only a King James Bible. There are no options. We don't read out of one in Sunday school and then one at timeout, and then we don't read at one at break. We read one Bible. That's the King James Bible. And we believe salvation by grace, plus minus nothing. It is all God. The sinner is dead in trespasses and sins. And it takes the Holy Ghost to awaken man out of his sinful condition. At that time, man has responsibility to respond to a God of grace that has brought us out of darkness. And we believe in the power of the regenerating work of the Holy Ghost. And then we believe in the security of the believer. And we believe that baptism is an ordinance for believers only. We don't believe in infant baptism. We believe in immersion only is the act of baptism. For things that has to do with the church, we believe that everybody that's born again by the grace of God should belong to a local New Testament church and should pay their tithes. Somebody say amen. I'm going to insert that. I didn't get last week. But we ought to pay our tithes where we go to church. TV crowd ought not get your tithes. Amen. In God's house, we ought to pay our tithes. And then the sexuality in marriage. We believe the sexual union were designed to be of one man and one woman. End of statement. Homosexuality is still a sin. And boy, it seems today that now we're in a tolerant society, but sin is still sin. We believe in the Trinity, but we believe only in one God who reveals Himself as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. We believe in the priesthood of the believers. All Christians have equal access to God. We do not have to go to a man to get to God, just the God-man, God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we do not believe in the ordination of women. Amen. We don't believe women can occupy a deacon board, nor can they pastor a local New Testament church. And so the apostolic gifts are gone. They were the foundation. And now we're building upon those foundations that's already been laid. Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. And so we taught about doctrine. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. Not just because Brother Ken says it, because the Bible teaches it. We ought to teach doctrine, preach doctrine, live doctrine. We live and die by doctrine. But tonight I want to not only talk about doctrine, but I want to talk about the second part where Paul is writing, where he says, I wish that you would grow up. I want to talk about development. Development. Now, I want to say there are some things in development that we've got to be assured of tonight. You take a little tree and you get it up by the root and you can put it out there in the soil. Well, let me tell you, it has life within itself. There's a property within that that brings life. Every born-again child of God that possesses the Holy Spirit in them. And if you are a child of God, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And if He don't live in you, you're not a child of God. Every child of God, every born-again child of God has the life living in them. But I want to share tonight just four things I think that we must have in order to develop right. To develop right. Now, we've heard it so many times, a lot of times we look over it. You know, we can't see the trees for the forest. And this sounds like an easy fix, but I want to challenge our church with something tonight. And I want to ask you, first of all, there's got to be a daily intake of the Word of God. If you're going to grow in grace, let's look in 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And if we could, let's look at verse number 18. 2 Peter 3 and verse number 18. Now, Peter has learned a lot by now. Matter of fact, he's learned enough that God could entrust him to write a passage of Scripture. And he says this in 2 Peter 3 and 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, let me ask you something. What do you really know about this book tonight? We know the Bible says that God is no respecter of person. That you can learn about this book. You don't have to be a preacher to learn about this book. But as a child of God, He wants every one of us not only to grow in grace, but in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Now, in order to do this, in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Let's look at that. 1 Peter chapter number 2. And look in verse number 1 and 2. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." Here it is, "as newborn babes," and underline this word, "desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." Now, every child of God ought to have a desire in them to know something about this book. You take both of my little grandchildren, neither one of them have been different, and neither one of our girls were different. When they got hungry, the way we knew they were hungry, they would begin to cry. And you'd stick that bottle in their mouth and she'd say, "I guessed it right again, they're hungry." Well, you know what God is saying as a child of God? We ought to have a desire in us to want something called the milk of the Word. We ought to want something out of the Word of God to sustain us. Now, this daily intake of the Word, I want to talk about developing the Christian life tonight. It's so sad that so many church members have never grown. And I want to say this, before you'll ever grow in the Word, you must know that you are a child of God. You must know. Now, note in Peter 1, verse 23, he says, being born again. I want to ask you this tonight. Have you been born again? Is there an assurance of faith? You must be assured that you've been saved before you'll ever grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus. You're not going to go any place doubting God on your salvation. A lot of people doubt their salvation. I know there's times in my life where I doubted salvation. But let me tell you, it ought to be a place and a time where you can go back to, number one, where you got lost. You've got to be lost before you can be saved. At that time, in your own way, I'm not telling you you had to say nothing. I'm just telling you, you had to go to a place and a time when you got lost and your heart turned to Christ and your life changed by the glory of God. So he said, born again. You've got to have an assurance of faith. Now, this assurance of faith, it is indispensable for healthy growth. You've got to have it. Look in 1 Peter 1 and verse 14. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. So first of all, before we'll ever grow in the things of God, we must realize we are a child of God. You've got to have that assurance. Did you know that he said this, I write these things unto you that you may know that you have eternal life? Can I tell you, you can know that you know that you know that you're saved tonight? Now you must know you're God's children too. You must understand that you are very weak. Look what this word says, as newborn babes. Now I want to ask you something. If you took little old Parker tonight and you throwed him out here in the woods and you run off and left him, he wouldn't do too good, would he? You know why? Because he's newborn. He's not very old. And as a Christian, when you're born in the family of God, you know, some of you can be 20 years old and still newborn. Amen? And so we must realize that we were born infants. We were very weak and we needed help. Matter of fact, most Christians tonight, and I don't say this to rhyme to sound cute, I'm just telling you where we are. Most Christians tonight that's been saved a long time, they're on milk, bibs, and diapers. God wants us to get to meat, battles, and devotion. Can I say that again? Most are on milk, bibs, and diapers. God wants us to get to meat and battles and devotion. Now, you must not remain weak, but we must grow. And grow, in order to grow sometimes, it's a lot of failures involved in that. Now, through the milk of the Word, note this parable. He says in 1 Peter 2 and 2, as newborn babes desire. Through the milk of the Word, now this parable, note the mother's milk. Out of her own life does the mother yield food and life to the child. Can I tell you, this Bible is the words of God, and when we digest them, it brings us the life of Christ into us. In John 6 and verse number 63, I want you to look how powerful that this word is. John 6 and verse number 63. Here you'll note that John's writing and he says this, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. When I'm putting this word in me, you know what I'm doing? I'm putting life in me. Could you imagine the kind of church service we'd have in this place if everybody in this place Sunday had partook of this Word every day this week and digested just the milk of the Word? Could you imagine the life in this bunch? You'll notice a lot of times when people stand up and they can't help it. You know why? This life has done got in them so much it's got to come out someplace. And oh boy, I'm going to tell you tonight, here in this parable, through this milk of the Word, out of her own life, how the mother, does the mother yield food and life to the child? So it is with the Word of God from God our Father. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 13, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 13, the Bible says that for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now I'm glad that Word works in us. And in order for us to develop as a child of God, we must have a daily intake of the Word of God. Somebody asked me one time, well, how much am I to read every day? I want to say this. It's better to read one verse 10 times and get it in your heart than to read 10 verses and not even know what it's saying. It's not the amount you read. It's get something at what you read. And we must realize that we need a diet of the Word of God. You know, people, I'm going to be honest with you. Not many people's really interested in preaching or the Word of God. I can tell you what, if we posted, and I love singing good as anybody preaching, but if we posted that the Primitives and the McCameys and 2 or 3 big known groups would have been here tonight, do you think we could have sat in this house? No, we got Bible study. It's not attractive to some people. But let me tell you something, folks. The only way we're going to grow is through the preaching of the Word of God. As we said last week, and I know I don't mind telling you just right where I believe and where I live. I have nothing to hide. I live in a glass house, and I preach that way. A lot of you've read in newspapers where Baptist churches for a year, and all of a sudden a new pastor come in, and it's not a Baptist church no more. Well, let me ask you something. How does that happen? Because the people are not standing on doctrine. The doctrine's not been taught. Now, it doesn't matter. If I teach you the right kind of doctrine, and you're trained in the Word of God, and you grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus, and another pastor come in here and start preaching wrong doctrine, you'll pick it up just like that. You'll say, no, you don't get saved that way. You get saved. The Bible says this. The Bible says that. Let me tell you, the reason we're Baptist tonight is because of doctrine. You've got to read the Word of God in order to grow. A lot of you, and you know, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm just saying where you are. You never pick your Bible up till Sunday. Well, no wonder you can't function as a Christian. We've got to get in this book. Now, I've got an electric hunting buggy. It's fabulous. They call it a bad boy buggy. I know why now. I pulled on the drive-in out here the other day and knocked lights down with it. It's a bad boy buggy. Amen. I mean, that thing got off the trailer and I still had it tied down. But you know, that thing's wonderful, Brother Troy, as long as it's got juice in it. It's got a drawback. If you don't plug it up, it don't work right. I mean, you can get on the first hunting trip, Brother Randall, that thing will climb a tree. But if you run it all day and you put it in the shed at night and you don't charge it up, in the morning you're going to be walking because you done forgot what you're supposed to do. Well, that's the way it is with us as a child of God. We wonder why our batteries get so low. Well, this is where you get charged at. And look around in here. Here's a charging station tonight. This is a place where you come get your battery charged up. And then you wonder, man, I don't know why things aren't working right, and I don't know why we can't do this and do that. Well, we got to get in the Word of God and learn to grow. God wants us to teach somebody else about this book, too. Teaching your children. Now, I want to give you something tonight. Maybe you write it down, and I'll move on. far as a good study Bible. You know, I guess it's a little unfair. And I've noticed the older that I get, the more I try to see where other people are living. Now, I'll be honest with you, mainly all I've got to do is study the Word of God and see about this flock. I've got to study to preach. I told my wife, I said, honey, I've not even been away from this desk all day except went to your daddy's and I come to church about 5:30. You know why I studied all day? Because I got to preach tonight. A lot of you never do have to teach or preach, therefore you don't find yourself having to study. Amen? We still owe it as ourselves being a Christian that we must need a daily intake from the Word of God. I'll be honest with you, I don't expect nobody in the house to study much as I do. And I'm sure some probably does. But I do expect you to get in the Word of God through the week. Amen. And when you got too busy to get in the Word, you're too busy. I wonder if we've done this tonight. I wonder if we put TV time up against the Word of God time this week, where would we be? Where would we be on this side? You know, I know we all got favorite shows. I love the Outdoor Channel. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, some of you real men need to get a life and get involved in the outdoors. Amen. Amen. And you know, it would. I just wonder if we showed, you know, the Alabama ball game. I wonder if I raised hand, how many people watched that thing Monday night? Did y'all know I was booked to go preach below New Orleans Monday night? And by the grace of God, He let this boy pastor a church on the Alabama line not go? Okay, you don't like that. I'll go to number two. You know, God has a way about seeing about His youngins. Preacher called and said, folks, they're sick in the church. I said, well, let's reschedule to February. My son-in-law said, did you know you was going right down there where all that mob's going? I said, what you talking about? He said, oh, the big national night's Monday night. I said, praise God, you got me out of all that. But you know, how long did y'all watch that ball game Monday night? Now, don't raise your hands. I don't want to. I got a good jest. I mean, I'm not crazy. I've not been under a rock 51 years. Amen. I know what you're doing. I know what we do at my house. You got to take time out to do what we got to do. So let's say you watched it 2 hours. Well, have you spent 2 hours this week in the Word of God? We wonder why we're not growing. We wonder why any little thing upsets us or come by us, blows us off track. We got to be grounded. We got to have an anchor thrown out in this Word of God. The devil loves to get the Word out of the church. You take in this part of the country 50 years ago, do you think for 1 second these old timers would have allowed a drama team in a place of preaching in a Baptist church? That wouldn't have happened. And guess what? I just happen to be one of them old time Baptist preachers. Now, the saints of yesterday were a lot more persistent than we are in the Word of God. My wife's granddaddy had a hobby. One was church singing. He would go to a Sunday singing someplace. And the second was reading his Bible. You know something, what they had that we don't have? They had a lot of things. We think, you know, man, you look at what all we got. I mean, God's really blessed us, but then you think what they had. They would get their Bible down. That was their Nintendo. Amen. That was their Friday night going to Outback or to Longhorn or to Applebee's. They just didn't get in a car and go someplace. All they do is sit around a fire and read their Bible. Well, but let me ask you something. Look how strong they were. Look how wimpy we are. Some of your mom and daddies would roll over in their grave if they seen what you was a-doing. So see what's happened. We've left the basic fundamental of just getting in the Word of God and we put it to aside for just on Sunday. The Word of God ought to be a lifestyle to us. You know, I've got a Bible. I take it to the deer stand. Some of you laugh at it. Well, you just keep your marks to yourself. I'm preaching right now. We ought to take the Word with us every place that we go. But you can see where this generation is from where our forefathers were. And you know why they were so staunch in their belief? They read their Bibles. A new preacher couldn't come by and hoodwink them. They knowed what the book said. Help me preach now. I'm in this generation too. Let me tell you, it's hard for me to get my priorities right in this book. And I want to challenge you tonight as your pastor, as your preacher, get in the Word of God. You've got some way or another to discipline yourself to get in this book. You know, when I first got saved, this is what I did. Okay, I'm going to read 10 chapters tonight before I go to bed. And about the 7th chapter, I don't even know what it was saying. I'm just going to read them other 3 chapters so I could ease my conscience and go to sleep. I don't know what it said. So I'd rather get me 2 or 3 verses that I could soak on and muse on, that I could grow on and eat on, that would help me tomorrow. So, the development. We must daily have an intake of the Word of God. Number 2, we ought to have a disciplined prayer life. Not only a daily intake, but we ought to have a disciplined prayer life. Is your prayer life disciplined? Did you know when I was at that plant, as shameful as I want to, as I say this tonight, I'm not gloating, I say this absolute in shame. I did not have a disciplined prayer life. Oh, I prayed, but it wasn't disciplined. I had to find something in my life that would make me disciplined to pray. So I got to thinking one day, and I said, well, Ken, what do you do every day of your life? And you know what I said? Coffee. I drink coffee every day of my life. Did y'all know when I go on the road, I take Starbucks and a coffee maker with me? Drink your little weak Maxwell House. You can read a newspaper through it. I'm not interested in that. I mean, I want a cup of coffee that wakes up and says, good morning, preacher. You know, I like when a spoon just stands up off top of it. Amen. Miss Sherry does too. Say amen, Miss Sherry. I found out if I was going to be disciplined, I had to get a hold of something I was doing every day. I do that every day. Now, every morning before I drink my coffee, you know what I do? I go to my altar. It may be your night before you brush your teeth. You ought to say, before I brush my teeth, let's go by my bedside. I'm going to pray. Make you an altar. Brother Ken, where's your altar? It's in my study in a chair. I've got a cushion. I pull out beside that chair. I put my knees in. I bend down in my chair, and that's my altar. One of them at the house that I try to use every day that I'm at that house. Do you have a dedicated place to pray? You're not going to grow with God unless you pray. Now, I want you to see what Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6. Matthew 6. And notice with me tonight in Matthew 6, verse number 5. And when thou prayest, he says we're not to be like the hypocrites. Verse 6, he says, but when thou prayest, enter into your closet. Where is your closet? That's my chair and my study. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions. Verse 7. Verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. That lets me know I ought to be praying every day. Give us this day our daily bread. And then he says this, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I want to say a few quotes about prayer tonight. I thought this was one of the best I've ever heard about prayer. I love quotes. And This is what one writer says. If your day is hemmed in with prayer, it is less likely to come unraveled. Can I say that again? If your day is hemmed in by prayer, it's a lot less likely to not come unraveled. One writer said, work, work from morning till late. In fact, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer every morning. History is silent about revivals that did not begin in prayer. Boy, we need revival in our church. Wouldn't it be a blessing if we'd pray a revival in this place? Watch this. I love this. Prayer is exhaling the spirit of man and inhaling the spirit of God. Prayer is exhaling the spirit of man and inhaling the spirit of God. To pray well is the better half of study. Prayer requires more of the heart than the tongue. Watch this. No one is a firmer believer than the devil about prayer. Not that he practices it, but he suffers from it. F.B. Meyer said this, the greatest tragedy in life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. Ben Franklin said, work as if you were to live 100 years, but pray as if you were to die tomorrow. Our prayers must mean something to us if they mean anything to God. Devotion. Tonight, for development, we must have a daily intake of the Word. We must have a disciplined prayer life. Are you praying? I like what one 95-year-old preacher told me one time in Kentucky. He'd been preaching some 75 years. They called on him to preach, and he got up in the pulpit. He said, this morning I've chosen a topic to preach on, a prayer. This is what he said. I'll never forget it. He said, it's not how long you pray, just don't go long without praying. That's good advice tonight. Boy, we must have a daily intake of the Word of God. We must have a devout prayer life. But I want to say this thirdly tonight. We ought to have a devoted walk by the Spirit. Devoted walk by the Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 14. Are you walking by the Spirit? Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now we must have, no doubt in my life, a daily intake of the Word, a disciplined prayer life, but we need a devoted walk by the Spirit. Now look in your Bibles tonight in Ephesians 4 and verse 17. I want you to notice something that the writer has said that I've never picked up on till today. In Ephesians 4 and verse number 17, devoted walk by the Spirit. Are you walking by the Spirit? Ephesians 4 and 17. Paul says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all cleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you've heard of Him and have been taught by Him as the truth in Jesus. Now here it is that you put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. All right, right here, this devoted walk by the Spirit. First of all, we better realize this. We've got a lot of flesh on us. got a lot of flesh in us. Paul's talking about here, he's talking about putting off the old man of nature. Notice this, he's still in there. I realize the Bible says that we're dead in Christ. We must crucify this flesh every day, but I must be aware I have an old man walking around in me. Amen. I was born from above, and therefore I beget God's nature, the new man. He says, verse 24, that you put on the new man. Now, how in the world am I going to do that? Well, first of all, I've got to realize that old man is alive and well. A lot of times the devil defeats us because we mess up. Well, why wouldn't you mess up? You're human. What we've got to realize is God forgives us. And certainly, this devoted walk by the Spirit. Now, I want you to look. There's four major themes here that Paul deals with about grieving the Spirit of God. He lists them in order. And he says, first of all, I'm going to get to them, but then notice he ends in verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. He gives us four main themes of how certainly we can grieve the Spirit of God. Notice what they are. Look in verse 25. It is lying. Wherefore put it away, lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Why would Paul tell Christians not to lie? Because lying's in there in us. Sometimes it's easier to tell a lie than tell the truth. Amen. You don't have to teach your children to lie. They'll pick that up soon enough. You got to teach them to tell the truth. I want to say there is no single sin in the Bible that is so broad in connection with the devil as lying. Lying is out of hell and it leads there. God is the God of truth. And Paul says if you want to grieve the Spirit of God, you just get to lying. You'll grieve Him. Number two, verse 26, I tell you another big thing that can absolutely quench or grieve the Spirit of God is anger. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Young couples, the best advice I could ever give you is don't you go to sleep mad. Solve your indifferences before you go to sleep. You'll notice here anger. The sin of temper is along with lying. The most common sin by which the Christian is kept back from increasing growth is that of anger and lying. We better watch our anger. Paul's writing and he says, I'm going to tell you, I don't want you to grieve the Spirit of God. And the way you can do that is by lying and being angry. Then he says, number three, verse 28, he talks about stealing. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, work in his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Stealing. Deception and dishonesty. I want to say deception and dishonesty in trade, whereby I do wrong to my neighbor and seek my own advantage at his cost. You say, well, I'm just a good trader. Well, don't be a thief at it. Amen. You know, it amazes me. I've been watching a show and y'all laugh. I told you, so I won't tell you laugh at me enough. But a lot of times people come in there and see what the value of their thing is, and they walk in the door, and you know, they'll tell the man, well, we'll take $50 for that and be happy. And the old boy at the counter says, we're going to give you $500. And then they get mad because he won't give them $700. Well, he could have got it for $50, but he wasn't a crook. He's trying to be pretty fair about the deal. Now, I want to say this in stealing. Let him that stole steal no more. Now, listen to me. Deception and dishonesty in trade, whereby I do wrong to my neighbor and seek mine own advantage at his cost. I wish Brother Dennis is here. You get a rod knocking in a vehicle. Well, let's pour a little mud in there and pour it in the parking lot so it won't knock, and let's trade right quick. Well, you knowed it when you pulled in there. Uh-oh, y'all don't like that news. Y'all don't like much tonight. But you know, He says, those that stole, steal no more. You know something? If I owed a man something, I need to pay him. I don't care if I agreed to you to pay you $100, and if I ain't give you but $98, I'm $2 short, and I owe you $2. And if I can't pay you, I ought to come and tell you I can't pay you and work out a payment plan. Amen? Stealing. He says, boy, you sure can grieve the Spirit of God by lying, by anger, and by stealing. Then look what he says in verse 29, closing down tonight. He says this, by corrupt speech, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. By our speech we can grieve the Spirit of God. Fourthly and lastly, I believe with all of my heart, if we're going to develop our Christian relationship with the Lord Jesus and grow in grace, not only do we need a daily intake of the Word. How's your Bible? We need a disciplined prayer life. How's your prayer life? Where's your altar? Three, a devoted walk by the Spirit. Are you staying in tune with the Spirit of God? Is the Spirit of God leading you? But lastly, we need a direct confession of sin. Why do you think God said this in 1 John 1 and 9? 1 John 1 and 9. I sure am glad I found it in my Bible. 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. And church, you better understand this. When you're not, He is. I'd be careful to say somebody's getting what they deserve. Because, you know, it's easy for us to want to say that. But I wonder what we really deserve. What we really... Right now, there's a family, I can tell you right now, fixing to be at one of the hardest times of anybody I know. And you know what? They hadn't applied preaching. And unless God performs a miracle within a week, you'll read it in the newspaper. They won't apply preaching. Well, you know what old Ken wants to say? You brought it on yourself. But then, Brother Gerald, I'm 51 years old now. I've been preaching a long time. Now I back up and I say, but old boy, really now, really, what do you deserve? I mean, really now, what do you deserve? Now watch what your Bible says. I believe in order for us to grow in Christ, we have to have a direct confession of sin. Everybody in this building sins. Ain't nobody turn a halo up and you sitting there. I don't see no angel hovering over you tonight. The only difference in us and a lost person, our sins have been forgiven. I'm talking about relationship. I'm talking about growing in the grace of the Lord Jesus. I'm talking about fellowship. And buddy, sin will sever fellowship quicker than it. God will not tolerate sin. Preachers have backed off sin. And you know, I could name every sin tonight, and we've all got it in our lives. But this is the thing about it, we've got to learn to confess it. Look what he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful. And let me tell you something, I've got one of the hottest heads of any man preaching. Somebody run out. I'm talking about going home. Doesn't preach to you now. Somebody cut me off. You're going to run me in the ditch. I'm going to do crazy stuff. And I done opened the Bible and preached to the whole congregation. I mean, crazy stuff. Look what it says. If we, not them. Well, we better wake up and realize we're not going nowhere with God with sin in our lives. Boy, this old nature on me, I got saved in 1981. I was 20 years old. I'd done stuff that I'm so ashamed about. Now, let me tell you something. This mind hits rewind. This old nature craves it. I've got to pull it on a cross and kill it. I wonder where any of us have been 6 months if we was out of this flock. That's why it lets me know I better not be alone. I need you like you need me. Oh, I'm just telling you right. I'd have me a Harley and a can of Copenhagen so quick, your head would swim. I'd be in a casket for long, but I'd be there. I'm telling you, I'd be there. And I know you don't have things bother you, but it bothers me. This old thing just rears up in me against God all the time. I know none of my members have this problem, so I'm just going to preach to me. Direct confession of sin. Now, confession implies a renunciation, the putting off of sin. God gave His Son to take away sin. 1 John 3:5-6. 1 John 3:5-6. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. You know why God put His Son on the cross? Because sin. You know why God had to have blood shed? Because sin. Your sin, my sin, put Him on the cross. Roman soldiers didn't put Jesus on the cross. Our sins put Him on the cross. But look what He says. You know He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. So God gave His Son to take away sin. Now, in order to confess, I must bring my sins daily to the one who can take it away. One of the greatest privileges as a child of God is to where we're able to confess our sin. That's a privilege. Now look what He says. If we confess our sins, in other words, if we realize this is a trespass with God in our life, we ain't got to live with it. Because let me tell you, living in sin is miserable. To know something between you and God as a child of God is miserable. Sinner, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, it's miserable dreading facing God with your sin. But I'm glad as a child of God, I ain't got a dread facing Him about my sin because the Lord Jesus took my sin on Calvary. And I'm glad I'm declared righteous by the blood of the Lamb. But I'm very concerned about fellowship tonight. I want to be right with my God. Now notice this. In order to confess, I must bring it daily to the one who can take it away, and that's only the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch these quotes. Sin is not hurtful because it's forbidden, but it's forbidden because it's hurtful. All sins tend to be addictive. People say, well, we're looking for something in a bottle or in a bag. Or we're looking for something, and you know, just only that gets me there. Well, let me ask this. Why do you keep going there if it's so satisfying? I mean, if it fixes that craving you got, and it's only doing what only that can do, why ain't it satisfying? Why do you keep going back to it? I've noticed every sin that I ever commit, it wants to be so addictive. I guarantee you tonight, with the kind of nature that we've all got, we better watch sin because it becomes addictive. You watch you one dirty movie, you know what you'll be doing? You'll be watching them every day of your life. This man right here has complete control of my computer. And as long as I'm pastor here and he's here, he'll always have control of it because I want him looking in at what I'm looking at. I don't trust me. Don't look at the floor. I'm your preacher. I'm preaching. And you better not trust you. You say, not you, Brother Ken. Why not me? And I got a better question. Why not you? Sin is addictive. Sin grabs you. I guarantee you. I always make fun about this tobacco that I want to dip so bad. And I know some of you chew and dip, and God ain't bothering you. All I can tell you, just have fun. That's all I know to tell you. Just have fun. I'm not up here browbeating you. It's going to take God to get out. But I'm going to tell you what, if I could just do, Brother Jake, if I just want to confess to my whole church, if I could just do that, if I could just go get me one chew of Red Man, sit at a deer stand, and just spit. But you know what I'd do on the way home? I'd be saying, well, you know, that wasn't bad. I'd just get me another chew. And then before long, I'd be turning the church parking lot and say, I got here a little early. I'd be getting me a chew for anybody else who gets here. Sin is addictive. You can't, you know, just a little dab won't do you. You know, isn't it amazing how a lot of times we say, well, you know, it won't hurt. Just a little social drink, it won't hurt. Not for long, you'll be drinking a case on the weekend. Boy, I've learned this. I learned it the hard way. Sure wish I could help somebody tonight with this statement because I sure have. My wife knows I've learned it. I never intended to be addicted 30 years ago. But you play with sin. Before long, sin will play you. I started smoking dope in a feed loft in a dairy barn. Because it was cool. And before long, my young'uns was going out things with that what we needed just so I could buy my weed. I never intended for it to get me there. But it got me there. And it got me there quicker than I thought it would ever get me there. Play with singing. It'll soon play you. My little girl posted something on the internet the other night. Had some 30 hits come back. I've not even got involved in it because I know I'll show myself. I can say this. I sure am glad I pastor a church where sin's still sin. That'll be all I'll say about that tonight. But I can tell you, honey, you play with fire, you're going to get burned. Wish I'd had a preacher crying telling me not when I was 16, 15. Wish I'd had some heroes at church.